Okay, tonight we're on judgments. I want to go through this again one more time. How many baptisms are there? What are they? Fire, water, Holy Spirit. Amen. There are four resurrections. Who is the first resurrection? Jesus. Second, rapture. Third, Old Testament saints. Fourth, that's right, the unsaved. Very good. You're the only one who said it out loud. Are you ready? So let's do it again. The four resurrections. They are Jesus Christ, the rapture of the church, the resurrection of the Old Testament saints, and those that were martyred during the Great Tribulation period. And then the last one is all the unredeemed, or all the evil will then be vomited up to the next judgment. So there are two judgments. Everybody say two. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ. Everybody say, this is elementary school, my dear. My dear. Elementary school means what? You got to know this before you can go to the next level. Amen? So this is elementary school. You need to know this material, not just hear it once, but know this material. And that is this. Let us go on to perfection, which means grow up. Everybody say grow up to somebody that you really have always wanted to say it to. And maybe you can just text them and say, Pastor told me to tell you to grow up. Okay? Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptisms. How many baptisms? What are they? Very good. And the doctrine of baptism, the laying on of hands. I think Minister McKenzie taught you that one, right? The releasing of the anointing. Amen. And then the resurrection of the dead. How many resurrections are there? How many resurrections are there? At least make your mouth move. Yeah, say watermelon. 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 That way I think you're at least faking it. Here we go. Ready? How many resurrections are there? Very good. They are. Very good. And then there are two judgments. So we're going to cover the judgments tonight. That is the of eternal judgment. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, and it is appointed unto man to once die, but after this, judgment. I want you to recognize that every single human being is going to be judged. Everyone. What's different about this judgment is you're standing before somebody who actually knows your thoughts. You know, you ever get caught when you're a kid and you lied your way out? Ain't happening. How about you got caught as a kid and then you blamed your sister or your brother? Yeah. And they got whooped and you didn't? Jesus is good. Hallelujah. That won't happen because this is a righteous judgment, which means every single person is going to stand before God, and God knows our end from our beginning. The Bible says he knows us naked, which would scare me personally. You know, he knows us all. He knows every bit of us. He knows our thoughts. He knows our intents. He knows everything about us. So when we stand before God at these judgments, you know, that's the powerful part. Now, what's important is recognizing and understanding the judgment that you're going to stand at. Say amen or oh my. If you don't know the judgment you're standing at, then you can't have confidence in who you are serving. It is necessary to create a division in the understanding of judgment because Christians will not be judged the same as a sinner. There are a lot of people who don't understand. See, that's why I hate salad. Stinking salad. Yeah, I just picked a piece of salad out of my teeth. Hate that. Okay. Where was I? I was supposed to buff, wasn't I? So, there are two distinct judgments. It's extremely important that you know this. Two extremely different judgments. There's the judgment for the saint. Turn to someone and say, that's me. And a judgment for the sinner. Say, I hope that's not me. If it is, we're going to give you a salvation call right now. Just as I am without one plea. We'll do a salvation call, and if you need to get saved, you can tonight. You need to know that if you are unsaved, you're not going to be judged at the same place. And what will be judged is actually very, very, very different. And this is tremendously important. Listen, you're late. Why are you late? Why? Get up here and tell everybody why you're late. Oh, I'm just kidding. It doesn't matter. Okay, I do need some ice cream. It would calm me down a little. All right, so let's talk about the two judgments. So let's walk over here. Now, you and I are in the church age. It started when? Do you remember when it started? Very good. Acts chapter 2. I knew you knew that. Remember that in Acts chapter 1, Jesus said, go and tarry in Jerusalem to receive the promise of the Father. He then ascended into the clouds. The angels were standing there near the disciples as they're staring up. And they said, as you see him leave, you will see him come in the clouds. Remember, that's talking about the rapture, not the second coming, because the second coming of Christ, he's actually going to touch the Mount of Olives. When the rapture happens, Jesus is not going to touch the earth. The trumpet of God shall sound. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Those that are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. So the rapture is different. We talked about that already. The rapture happens here. The second coming happens here at the end of the great tribulation period. What's important to know that when the trumpet of God sounds, the church will be raptured. Who is the church? All those that have been saved since Acts chapter 2 will be raptured. What does that mean? That means Peter. Peter was crucified upside down because he said, I'm not worthy to be crucified the same way that Jesus was, so flip me upside down because I don't deserve to be killed like my master. Isn't that pretty amazing? So they flipped Peter upside down and crucified him upside down, and he led the Roman guard to Jesus while he was dying upside down on the cross. Pretty cool, huh? The church age, when Peter died, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So his physical body went into the ground, but his spirit went to be in the presence of God. Why? Because he was washed in the blood of Jesus. Now remember, the reason why the Old Testament saints are here being resurrected is because their sins were covered, but they are old covenant. You and I are a different breed. Amen. You and I are very privileged to be part of the church, the body of Christ. So the rapture happens. All of a sudden, the trumpet of God sounds. The Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first. That means everybody who has died from Acts chapter 2 to when the rapture occurs, all of their bodies are going to meet their spirit. So what's automatically going to happen is everybody who's physically died and been buried in the ground, or sharks have eaten them, and one shark took a limb that way, and another shark took a limb that way, or somebody was incinerated, maybe born again in Hiroshima when the bomb was dropped. No matter what situation it is, their physical bodies, God is going to resurrect them. Well, I don't know how he's going to do that. He's God. He can do whatever he wants. That's a breeze for him, resurrecting a body, creating a body. So the body's going to meet the spirit, and then they're going to be brought up. They're going to be brought up to what's called the Bema seat of Christ. Everybody say Bema. It's B-E-M-A. That is called the Bema seat of Christ. Now, what also is going to happen is the dead in Christ shall rise first, and those that are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air. That means if the rapture happens tonight, when we won't die. Well, actually, the dead in Christ will rise first. We're talking milliseconds. But then everybody in this room will disappear. Pretty cool, eh? What's very interesting is if you're not right with God, you're still sitting here. Now, also remember what that means. As we went through 2 Thessalonians, that means if you're still sitting here, you will not have an opportunity in the great tribulation period to be saved. That's why you should not neglect so great a salvation. If you've had the opportunity to be saved and you do not follow through with it, or you backslide and walk away, if the rapture occurs, you will not have another opportunity to be saved after the rapture occurs. You will serve the Antichrist, and you'll go to the lake of fire. So don't neglect it. Say amen. Amen. So all of a sudden you're raptured, and all of a sudden now you're standing before God. The Bible says you're going to be judged. Everyone is judged. Romans chapter 14, verse 10 says this, "But why do you judge your brother, or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." 2 Corinthians 5:10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he has done, whether good and or bad." Now, the difference between the judgment called the Bema seat and the judgment for the sinner is that you are not going to be judged for your sins. Well, why is that? Well, because your sins are washed away. The Bible says he throws your sin as far as the east or the west and remembers it no more. The Bible says that when Christ forgives you, he washes away and he doesn't hold it over your head. So there's no way when you and I as believers, as sons and daughters of God, when we're judged, there's no way for us to be judged for our sins because our sins are gone. The only way to be at this judgment is if you are born again. If you are not born again, you will not be at the Bema seat of Christ. So as a born-again person, as somebody that's been blood-washed by Jesus, it was interesting. I was reading something this week, and they said, what terms do you think should be extracted from Christianity that make people feel weird? And someone said, washed by the blood of Jesus. I'm sorry, I will never change that. For without the washing of the blood of Jesus, you cannot go to heaven. Amen? Someone's got to pay for that sin. And the blood of Jesus, the gospel is a bloody gospel. It's the bloody gospel because the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. This is why I go to 8:15. It has nothing to do with the lesson. Amen. So here we are. What happens is when you're born again, your sins are washed away. So when you and I stand before the Bema seat of Christ or we're going to be judged, there's no sins to be judged. Amen? Isn't that a good sign? Aren't you glad? So there is no sin that you're going to be judged for. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Psalms 103, verse 12, as far as the east of the west, so far as he has removed our transgression from us. So you will not be judged for your sin, but you still will be judged. So what will you be judged for? Why is this important? Yeah, but why is it important? Because if you don't know why you're going to be judged, then how are you going to make sure the house is clean? How are you going to know? Come on now. You got hired at a company, and you thought your job was to poop scoop out in the backyard. But your actual job was to be an engineer or an architect sitting at the table. So you're out pooper scooping out back, and you can't understand why you got fired. Well, you got fired because you weren't doing your job. Well, you thought that was your job. So you did it to the best of your ability. I'm sorry, it wasn't your job. So good intentions mean nothing here. You've got to know what you're going to be judged for so you'll know what you need to make sure is shored up in your life. We're not going to be judged for our sins. So what are we judged for? And that's 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 through 15. And it says this, "For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." That means salvation. "Now, if anyone builds on the foundation of gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, each one's work will become clear." Which means when you stand before God and you give an account for your works. Now, I want you to recognize this, that there are books in heaven. If you're born again, you're in a book. It's called the Book of Life. Amen? But there's another book. And it's the Book of Works. This is a scary part for the body of Christ today because the body of Christ is in a position it has never been before. Most believers do nothing for God. I'm going to say it out loud. Most believers do nothing for Jesus Christ. They never do anything in church besides come, sit, praise a little bit, go home, and do their religious thing. But you and I, as believers, we're going to be judged on our intentions. Well, if you aren't doing anything, there's no intention behind it. Is that correct? So what are we being judged for? For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each man's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work, everybody shout work. Say work. If anyone's work which he has built on endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. Yet he himself will be saved, yet as through fire. So, we have in the Bible a very clear understanding as Jesus unfolded it, talking about the person with the talents. How many remember the principle of the talents? He gave one, he gave one, 3, and he gave one, 5. What's a talent? Was money. And so what happened was the one with 5 went out and made 5 more. The one with 3 went out and made 3 more. But the one with 1 said, you are a hard man. You are what was the exact word they used? Beyond hard. Well, anyways, you're a mean boss kind of thing. So therefore I went and hit it in the ground. And the word of God says, you wicked servant, you should have at least taken it to the bank and gotten me interest. But you took the gift that I gave you and you hid it in the ground. Therefore, throw them in the fire. Now, what's powerful about that is that in Christianity today, don't you tell me what to do. I'm just going to church, just doing my thing. Leave me alone. I don't want to participate. Just want to be here. I've got to get my Jesus on and go home. But I wanted you to recognize that's not how God thinks at all. That God expects you and I. Some of us are gifted differently. Nobody is better than anybody else. One person might have 5 gifts. One might have 3 gifts. One might be given 1 gift. God does not judge you on how many gifts you have. He judges you on what you do with the gifts that you have been given. So as believers, the body, the majority of the body of Christ in most churches, and I'm going to say that's not true here. We do have, I believe, about 40% of the church here that actually do work for the kingdom of God. They do something for Jesus, whether it be at the door. You know, you guys are at the doors. You might think, well, you know, I'm not really doing anything. I'm just at the doors. No. God can change a life by you being at the door. That's your ministry. You know, Aunt Queenie helps with the finances, and she sits there and does data entry. You know, it's boring. But yet, what is she doing? She's working for God. You know, we can go through the list. Mike's out there at the driveway with me, waving at everybody coming down the driveway as we're eating donuts and all the other good stuff. Hallelujah. Or getting wet. But Mike's going to get a reward for that. He's doing something. You know, there are people here that do, that's right, you too. There are people that do stuff here. Josh, that's Josh, by the way. Everybody know Josh? Josh, stand up and wave at everybody, please. There he is, Josh. He almost stood up. Here we go. So everybody does something. Who here works in the children's ministry? Who here works in the youth ministry? Who here doesn't do any ministry? Don't raise your hand. The point is that you will be judged according to the gifts that you have. I had this woman. Man, I love her, and I still love her, and she sings like an angel, plays keys amazingly, knows how to flow in the anointing, strong anointing. You know where she lives? At home. Do you know where she goes to church? Nowhere. Well, I just sing to the Lord in my living room. Baby, you might go to hell. Well, that's horrible, Pastor. Well, the Bible says if you have a gift and you're not using it, you've buried it, that he's going to say to that wicked servant, burn him. See, we have this concept that, oh my goodness, well, you know, I don't have to do anything. All I need to do is be saved. But the Bible says if you are saved, you will have works. That's found in the book of James. So if you're saved, you will do something for God. Everybody in this room, the Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 12 that we are jointly fit together, that we are the body of Christ. One cannot say to the ear, I don't like you, and cut it off. You know, the eye, and so on and so forth. We all are a part of the body of Christ. We all have a gifting that God has given us. And the expectation from heaven is that we're all going to be a working body. What happens when something isn't working properly, we call it disabled. Rich's foot. Rich gets to ride around in this electrified machine doing donuts all over the parking lot. Why? Well, because his skin didn't grow back on the bottom of his foot. Well, I want you to know that that foot affected his entire life. True? Well, he's still here. That is a miracle because it was... No, but it's iffy that he was even here on earth. God saved him more than once. Three times. Saved his life. So here we have a man who has skin that's finally... Finally growing back. I wasn't sure if it was soft or hard, the cast. And it's like his skin's finally growing back, but it has affected his life. This is what happens in church. Every one of us are gifted. Every one of us have a call. Every one of us have a purpose. And when we do nothing with what God has given us, then there's a disability within the church because there's something lacking. I broke my toe as a child. I was probably 17 years old. And my boss at Mr. Donuts was in the lake about up to his ankles. And I figured that I was going to, like, football tackle the dude and crush him. He did cause me a lot of trouble in life. And I was going to do it as a funny, but yet hurt him badly. And so I was up at the top of Queen Lake. I was up at the top. My cousin knows what I'm talking about. Up at the top of the sand area, and I just start booking it. And I hit him. Man, I picked him right up and drove him in about waist-deep water. It was so satisfying until I realized there is something desperately wrong with my foot. As my toe, I looked down, and it was wrapped over the other one like this. And I said, something is not right. So I waddled up to my 1970 Dodge Dart with a 1969 Belvedere Slant 6 engine in it, and I drove it home, and I walked into the living room. I said, hey, Dad, I think there's something wrong with it. He says, yeah, it's out of joint. So he reached down with his hand and went, it wasn't out of joint. It was broken. And he just tore it straight out. Now that toe does not move at that joint. For a long time, I didn't run. I limped. Why? Well, because my toe wasn't doing what it was supposed to do. It was broken. So in the body of Christ, you aren't using your gifts. The body is broken. This is the powerful part about who we are as believers. You know, you're not saved just to go to heaven. If you were, you'd already be dead. You're saved because you have gifts and talents that he has blessed you with to use to grow the kingdom of God. And that's the power of who we are. And in reality, when we stand before the Bema Seat of Christ, that's what we're going to be judged for, our works. What did you do for me? God's going to say, well, he already knows, but he's going to open the book. What did you do for me?
Well, I went to church. Like every once in a while. I did accept Jesus, but, you know, I just kind of did my thing.
And he's going to say, huh, so you did what with the talent I gave you? Well, I used it for myself. Oh, baby, I know people that use God's talent for their own gain. What do you have your talent for? What does God need your talent for? He needs it because there's somebody in the body that is going to need what you have. Ron, I'm going to blow him up. He's a quiet guy. Ron over here, he's a creative builder. Like Pastor Chad said, I need a desk for in Ithaca, and no one ever would have known that he would have ever built it. But he built it, he put it together, and they're using it in Ithaca, and it makes the house of God attractive. I'm not talking everyone's going to be behind a pulpit preaching. It might be your gift is to clean the toilets on a Sunday between services. You don't want to be seen. You don't want anybody to know your name. But you love to make sure that people are honored and taken care of. So you go and you clean bathrooms between services to make sure that the next service people coming in aren't seeing feces on the wall or anything in that matter. Thank you, young man. See, and that's what his gift is. What is your gift? He's serving. Picking up stuff for the pastor. Bible says you get a prophet a glass of water, you get a prophet's reward. So here we have people in the body of Christ. The majority of the body of Christ, 10% of the people are doing 90% of the work. And I want you to realize that the rest of the people that aren't doing anything are going to be put in a very, very unique position. Now, I don't have the authority to say they're going to heaven or hell, but I will tell you that according to the scripture, the one who hid his talent did not go to heaven. So what that says to me, there are people that are in church, call themselves born again, that do nothing for God, think genuinely that they're going to heaven, and they ain't going to make it. That should scare the hell out of you. Literally. It's important to recognize that you've been given gifts and talents. God's given them for you to use. Use them. Man, there's always holes in this church of things that could be accomplished. Like literally sometimes holes in the walls. Somebody came in one day, hung TVs in the children's room. These things did not just happen. I don't know what you are, but these things did not just happen. The chair set up this way did not just happen. The popsicle sticks by the, I don't know what they are, but you're the green team. That's all I do know. And they didn't just happen. The TV camera tonight that you're watching at home did not just happen. It took three people to run live stream this evening. It's amazing when you recognize how important your life is. It's not condemning, it should be stimulating to say that my life has design and has purpose and that I'm going to actually be judged for the works that I do for God. Remember this one. The only thing that is going to last is what's done for Christ. So you can do everything for the world. When you stand before God, it means nothing. The only thing that will last is what you've done for Jesus. So it's important to know that. And it's important for all of us to look at our lives and say, have and do and what am I doing to make an eternal dent? What am I doing to make eternal difference? And if it's nothing, then you need to grab yourself by the hiney. Amen. Hiney. Buttocks. Rear end. Patootie. And say, God, what are the gifts you've given me? I'm gonna go find a place that I can serve in church. Now, some people, let's take Pastor Andrea. Pastor Andrea oversees EOP. That is her ministry. She's doing ministry every day with all those people. So even though it's not in a church, that is her ministry. Yet she still does ministry. She oversees all the prayer teams of the church here at His Tabernacle. So she's working every day in the ministry, and she's working here. And I've got great news for you. How many of you work in the room? The Bible says if you're working, Do everything as unto the Lord with all of your might, which means you're not working for the company, you're working for God. And you're sent there as an ambassador to be a testimony of the goodness of God. And when someone needs prayer, you can pray with them on break. You heard what I said. On break or at lunch break, not during paid hours. Glory to God. So that God will give you a reward. So everybody is going to be judged. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3:8, now he who plants, he who waters are one. But the one who receives, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. Only the things that are done for Christ will... I got to read some of this because if not, I'll never get done. Here we go. Our purpose on earth is not just to make money, have a career, have a nice house, have a few babies, and out of here. Nope. Our purpose is found in 2 Corinthians 4:18. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Each one of us have been given gifts and talents. What are they? Now you're saying, well, I'm not sure. It always, listen, this is what I mean. If you're not sure, you need to go back to Growth Track. Sunday mornings, Growth Track. And they actually will give you a gift test. What that means is that will show you what you like to do. Now listen, your gift is not in children if you hate kids. Amen. You are not called to sing in the choir if you cannot hold a tune. No, really, there are people who really think that they can sing. They are sold out singers. They just can't keep a beat and they can't sing a tune. It's, some are tone deaf. They're not called to music ministry. Sometimes they end up there. We just turn their microphones off. Amen. Yeah. I am not called to mechanics. I've never changed an oil in a car or motorcycle or anything else. That's because it's maybe your gift. Not my gift. I cannot put together children's furniture. It's the only time I lose my salvation. I was putting together a grill one day, and I realized it's not going where it's supposed to go. I don't understand this. I read the directions 4 times. I watched 3 YouTubes, and it still didn't work, so I threw the top of the grill. Had to repent and get saved all over again. I needed to renovate my old house. I needed to renovate the back deck, the three season that was off the deck. And so I had to take the old wall out, put a new wall on. And as I was doing that, I threw a hammer. Because let me tell you, not my gift. Can I do it? Yes. Do I hate it? Absolutely. Is there any joy in it? No. But get me to teach rock solid faith, and I'll be high for 2 hours afterwards. I love what I love. And if you really just simply basically want to know your gifts, what do you love to do? You know, the old saying was, don't tell God you won't go to Africa. He'll send you for sure. That's not true. God won't send you where he has not programmed you. And what you love to do is what he programmed you to do. Well, I don't know how it's ministry. We had a lady in this church. She came up to us, this is like 8 years ago. She said, I love to crochet, Pastor. Can I have a crocheting group? Sure. A lady got saved in her crocheting group because they're crocheting. They're crocheting, and while they're crocheting, she's talking about Jesus. And one of her friends that she brought to the crocheting thing gave her heart to Christ. Worth every bit of it. Amen? Josh loves the fish. Amen? Well, how in the world can that be a ministry? Because you can take people fishing, and they'll lower their guard while they're fishing, and you can share with them the love of God. So everything, God programmed you to love things. That's where your ministry begins. That's where you start using the gifts. Those are what he put inside of you that you love to do. And I want you to realize that you didn't do that. God did that. He did that because you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And I want to spur you on if I can. There are too many people in this church. Now listen, like I said, we have a high number of people in the church that work. But, well, you know what's amazing? That was a really horrible burp. That was a salad burp. Told you I ate salad. Ugh. No, I don't want to curse myself. I hate salad. I forgot what I was going to say. Let's move on. All right. Psalms 139, verse 14. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. Jeremiah 1, 4 and 5. Then the word of God came to me, saying, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you to be a prophet to the nations. John 15, 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Romans chapter 8, verse 30. Moreover, whom he predestined, these things he also called. Whom he called, he also justified. Who he justified, he also glorified. Which means, before you ever saved, God has a plan for your life, and he prepared you for that plan. Oh, I knew what I was going to say. We love to see people born again, amen? I mean, honestly, I just love seeing someone go from death to life. This Sunday, I think it was six people right here gave their hearts to Jesus, two more in children's ministry. I think it's 13 or 15 children have been saved so far this week. Amen? Isn't that exciting? He's seeing here all the salvations of lives being transformed by Christ. Now, therefore, they can go to the Bema seat of Christ. So I remember probably about a year and a half ago, we started asking people, we went to some mature Christians, and we said, would you be willing to disciple somebody? And they said, what does that entail? And we said, well, we're going to give you a name, and we want you to follow through with them. We want you to encourage them. We want you to make sure they're reading their Bibles. We want you to take them step by step. That means you might have to take them to Rock Solid Faith. That means you might lose a night out, but you need to go to Rock Solid Faith to make sure that they're going to grow in Christ and get stable, grow up out of their childhood and, you know, out of babyhood into childhood. And you know what we heard? You wouldn't believe this. You know what we heard? I don't have time for that. I don't have time to do the discipling stuff. No, I appreciate you asking, but no, I don't have time for that. Not the minority, the majority said that. It would blow you away how many people don't want to work for God. You work 80 hours for your boss, and you work nothing for Jesus. And when you get up to the North Country, he's going to say, hey, what'd you do? Oh, nothing. Huh? You were in church three times this year. Huh? What were you doing?
Oh, I was busy. I was tired.
One lady, my favorite excuse. You ready?
I was afraid of lightning, Pastor. It was lightning out.
I said, if it was Monday morning, you had to go to work. Would you have gone to work during the lightning storm? Oh, well, of course, I got to make money. Oh, by the way, she was in her 50s. She was afraid of lightning. Couldn't go to church. You got to do something. Turn to someone and say, don't be a slug. Come on, tell somebody else, don't be a slug. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. You've been created to do works. Amen. You haven't been created to sit and save. You've been created to move. The steps of a righteous man, which means movement. You must do something for Christ. If you looked at already, isn't that horrible? 2019, it is August. August 13th, thank you. August 13th, 7:42 and 15 seconds. 8 months almost have already left us. If you look over 2019, what have you done for Jesus? And if it's nothing, I don't know, man. Maybe you should, like, be a little concerned. Because the Bible is clear. You're not saved by works. But if you're saved, you will do works. It is a domino effect in your life. You'll do something. Even running around on a Tuesday night with a microphone in your hand took her ministry. You want that ministry back? Okay. Tonight, next week it's yours? Okay. I didn't want you to lose your ministry. Yes. Isn't that funny? So, you'll be judged for your works. If you got no works, woohoo! Scary spot. The other thing you'll be judged for as a Christian, remember, not your sins, you'll be judged for your words. Words are seed. So whatever your words are, whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. If a man sows of the flesh, he shall of the flesh reap corruption. If a man sows of the Spirit, he shall of the Spirit reap eternal life. You see, so whatever you sow, you shall reap. So therefore, if your words are doubt and unbelief, and that's why the Bible says that we've got to watch, we've got to guard our lips, we've got to guard our mouth. Actually, the book of James chapter 3 is a whole chapter written on shut up. The whole book on shut up. Why is that? Well, because many people speak against God's word. I'm not talking unbelievers, I'm talking believers. Remember the sin of Eve. The sin of Eve really wasn't eating the fruit. That was the manifestation of the sin. The actual sin of Eve was her words with the enemy. She actually spoke a lie. God did not tell her that they could not touch the garden, touch the fruit of that tree. He said, don't eat the fruit of that tree. Her words were even twisted. And then she agreed with the devil. Her very first dialogue was with words. And it damned her. Your words have got to be guarded. I'm not saying you can't have fun. Listen, man, if you're in this office for any period of time, you come during the weekdays, I mean, you're going to hear laughing and joking. I'm not saying you can't have fun. I'm not saying you can't do jokes unless it's bad, nasty jokes. No nasty jokes now. You know, so on and so forth. Come on. But you got to watch your words. Your words have got to line up with the Word of God. Somebody once said to me, well, you know, I like country music, and I don't think there's anything wrong with country music. And I said, well, I don't think there's anything wrong with country music either. Well, then why do you say we should only listen to Christian music? I said, well, I didn't say that. But what I will tell you to do is take the words from the country music that you're listening to and line it up with the Word of God. And if it doesn't line up, then you shouldn't be listening to it because they're preaching to you. And you'll start parroting them. Well, I only listen to the music and not the words. Oh, really? Then why are you actually singing along with them? You remember all the words. You've got to watch your words. Amen. Watch your words. Turn to someone and say, you got to watch your words. That's Matthew chapter 12, 36 and 37. But I say to you that for every idle word men shall speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. Wow. So as a believer, you're judged for what two things? Words and your works. Words and your works. As a Christian, you're not judged for your sins. You're judged for your... Very good. These are the rewards of the judgment seat of Christ, the crown of life for enduring temptation, James 1:12, the crown of incorruptible, which is being temperate in all things. That means you're level, you're solid. Crown of rejoicing for evangelizing. Crown of righteousness for loving his return. The crown of glory for good leadership. For those that are leading over God's, their shepherds, the shepherds over the body, which would be me. So I want that one, the crown of glory. Oh, my God, I get that one. The great part about the crowns is you get to throw them at the feet of Jesus and give him glory for your life. Amen? That's found in Revelation chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. The 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." Amen? So as a Christian, you are not judged for your sins, but you are judged for your words and your works. So my question is, do you want to receive a crown? You know, many people don't realize this. There are three different levels in heaven. You know that, right? Three different levels in heaven. Paul said when he was in a vision, he said that he was in the highest level of heaven, and there were things that even he saw he couldn't even speak. We also know that there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. What's interesting is that some will rule with him and some will reign with him. This is not about you and I working for our way to heaven, but about being faithful for what he's called us to do. The rewards that we receive and even levels of authority that we will have in heaven is by you and I living obedient lives and working the works of God to bring him glory. Let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father. The book of Matthew chapter 5. So every one of us, you need to ask yourself, what am I doing for Jesus? And what am I doing in God's kingdom? What am I doing in God's house? Where can I serve? You should be running up on, during the weekday, Sunday morning, you should be running up to one of us and saying, "Pastor, what can I do? Just tell me what to do." And you know what? It'd be amazing. We'll find something for you. We will. I'll give you a good example. It is not my gift to fill holes in the parking lot. But I went and I took a cone and I put it in the middle of our driveway because there's a hole when you hit it, you lose your life. Yeah, I'm talking like, I'm surprised she came out. And if a motorcycle hits that, it's out. I have got to go and buy cold patch up at Lowe's. And I think about it only when I'm standing in that driveway. Got to pee? Oh. That's somebody's gift. That's not my gift. That's somebody's gift. And that's simple. See, there's always something that somebody can do. Pastor, you know, between first and second service, because our second service is lower, we actually remove some of the chairs. You could say, "Hey, can I be an usher?" Is that rain? Wow. Can I be an usher? You know, can I help with the children's ministry? Can I help with the youth ministry? Can I help with VBS? Can I help bus driving? Can I help being a monitor on the bus Wednesday or Thursday? What can I do to help? What can I do to be able to grow in my giftings? I challenge you to do that. Now, the other judgment is called the Great White Throne Judgment. So everybody say, the Bema is for the believer. The White Throne is for the sinner. Now, I didn't say sinner, I said sinner. Everybody can say that right now. Say, it's for the sinner. Amen. Totally different. These people will be judged for their sins. Why? Because they chose not to be washed in the blood of Jesus and have him pay for their sin. They have chosen to pay for their own sin. I want to remind you, God sends nobody to the lake of fire. God sends nobody to hell. Each person has chosen either to have Christ forgive them or for them to pay their own price for sin. Somebody has to pay the price for sin. The wages of sin is death. Somebody has to pay that price of sin. If you accept Jesus, you've chosen him to pay for your sin. Therefore, you don't have any. They're washed away. But if you choose to reject Christ, then you have chosen to pay for your own sin. These are the people that will be at the great white throne judgment. It's found in Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. "Then I saw a great white throne, and he who sat on it, for whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books," everybody say books, "were open. And another book was opened. So we see three books, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up their dead who were in it. Death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to their works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Amazingly, every single human being has their life in a book. Your life is being written. If you're born again, it's still being written. If you're not saved, it's being written. And so what's going to happen is, all of a sudden, remember, hell has been the holding tank since the beginning, all the way through, and all of a sudden, in Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15, the fourth resurrection, hell will give up all of its dead, and they will stand before the white throne judgment. God is going to open a book, and he's going to say, now somebody said to me once, why does God need to open a book? Can't he just say, go to hell? No. He's a righteous judge. He's going to show you what your choices were. See, that's the interesting part. We all make choices. You can't blame your mommy, your daddy. You can't blame Aunt Lucy. You can't blame your dog, Chow Chow. Has anybody ever named their dog Chow Chow? No. Just a thought. You can't blame the preacher. You wouldn't believe how many people, well, you know, that preacher there, I'm just not serving the Lord. I don't know. I don't like him. Don't matter to me whether you like me or not. Fact is, you use me as an excuse all you want. It ain't going to get you anywhere but hell. And that's the nice place. That will regurgitate you into the lake of fire. This is all about you and I making a choice to serve the Lord. But those who do not, they'll stand before the great white throne. How many of you like people at work? Some of you didn't raise your hand. You need a new job. How many don't like anybody at work? How many are just like, you're not saying a word? I do see a hand. Thank you very much in the back. The truth is that you have been placed there as an ambassador to give them the only hope that they have. You are their only hope. You need to hear that. You are their only hope. How many people that I have met in this town that have never once heard that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, no man comes to the Father but by him? How many people have never heard that Jesus is the only way? Not religion, not church, not being a nice person, not being kind, not the religious tag they grew up with. It's only by the blood of Jesus, the reception of Christ. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. The only way to heaven is through Christ Jesus. You'd be blown away how many people you work with that have never heard that once. Never once. Every one of us will be judged. And those who are at your work, like or dislike them, who do not receive Jesus as their personal Savior, will stand at this great white throne judgment. They're going to stand before a righteous God. And he's going to look at them and he's going to say, Francis, I formed you in your mother's womb on such and such a date. I gave you these gifts and I gave you these talents. I sent this person to you, this person to you, this person to you. I had you turn on the television. Remember, you didn't even want to turn on the TV, but I had you turn on the television. And there was that preacher on Sunday morning at 9 a.m., that His Word TV. And he gave you an altar call at the end of that TV show. And you chose, you made a decision in your head, I am not going to confess Christ. You want to know the most horrific part of the great white throne judgment and of all eternity is knowing that nobody put you there but you. And remembering every time you said no. That is horrible. You'll never see another human being. You'll never sleep. You'll never rest. Your mind will always be moving, remembering. Remembering every memory you've ever had will be there. But in there, you're not thinking the good times. Woohoo! It's not Miller time. You're remembering every time that God sent someone to you and you pushed them away and said, no way. You'll be burning, but your flesh will not be destroyed. Worms will be eating you, but you will not be decayed. You will smell the sulfur of the burning. You will hear the screams of the tortured people, but you'll never get out. Not for a week, not for a month, for all of eternity. And when you stand before God, he's going to open that book and say, these were your choices, these were your works. You went partying this day. You did this on this day. You lied on this day. You cheated on this day. You did this 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 on this day. Remember, I sent Pastor Spencer to talk to you, and you said, get away from me. I don't want religion. And so he walked away. I gave you that choice. I gave you this choice. You remember, you went and continued to do this. You did 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 this. And he's going to say, open the other book. The book of life will open. Is his name in there? No. Then cast him into the lake of fire. Let him experience the second death, where he will burn for all of eternity with his master, Lucifer. Never again, listen now, never again to be in the presence of God. How horrible, even at judgment, you have the opportunity to be in the presence of God, yet that will be the last time. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You can either bow here. You will bow here. The problem, if you bow here, you reside here for all eternity. It is scary. And sadly enough, the church don't teach it anymore because we don't want to offend anybody. What are you going to offend them out of hell number one, hell number two, or hell number three? Fact is that it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God, is what the book of Hebrews says. The Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That he is a righteous God. He is a righteous judge. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Nobody here is perfect. But we can aim at perfection, forgetting those things which are behind, pressing on towards the mark of the high call. I've got to know God. I've got to be close to God. I've got to stand pure before God. I've got to have a good conscience before God. I've got to be clean before my Lord. Man, you know and I know that if you sin, the conviction of the Holy Spirit is upon you before and after. Can I hear an amen or oh my? If you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. So here we are as believers. You know, we have an amazing mandate in these last days. Because I don't know about you. I have people I don't like, to be honest with you. Listen, I have to love everybody, but I don't have to like everybody. And there are people I just don't like. They're jerks. Yeah, but I don't care how bad a jerk they are. I wouldn't want anybody to go here. I don't care how bad somebody's disrespected, wounded, attacked, lied about me. I don't really care. I still don't want them to end up here. Yes. We got statement in the back. Run, young man, run! Hand up. He doesn't see you.
I just wanted to say that one time I had a dream, and there were people that were going to be thrown into the lake of fire, but they were all turning around screaming at me, you knew, and you never told me.
Ooh, that's horrible.
I sat by you at work every day, and you never told me.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a scary dream.
I think that was a message. So people who run into me are going to hear it.
That's right. One of the scariest dreams I ever had, it was at 3 a.m. in the morning. My son Chad was living for the devil. And I dreamt him in hell, and all I could see was his hand coming out, and he was screaming, "Daddy, Dad, help me. Help me, Dad." And I couldn't get him. I got up, I prayed 3 hours that night for him. Yes.
So the Bema Seed is for the sinner.
No, Bema Seed is for the believer.
For the saved.
Yep.
And the white throne is for the sinner.
Correct.
So my question is for you is, what if you are a saved, and because we're saved, we are judged by our words and our works, but yet we still sin? Because I'm just asking.
Yep, that's a great question. Jesus said, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just. So what happens is, you know, there are people who sin, and then there are people who live in sin. There's a differentiation between truly serving God and those who are not serving God. You know, if you are living together, committing perpetual fornication, you can come to church all you want. If you die or the rapture happens, you're left behind. Because God didn't call us to say sorry. God called us to repent. And repentance means a shift and a change in who we are, what we're doing. So, you know, I've had people living together here, some of them 8-10 years. I guess we have people that have lived together for 30 years in this church. And what's amazing is they're not going to make it. You can't live in perpetual sin and say you love God. For if you love me, keep my commandments. If they repent means they stop living together or they get themselves married, which we've had a lot of people do. You know, usually those living together here at the church, they're usually married within a year. Because I preach on it. I preach on fornication. If you're having sex before marriage, it's a sin. And if you say you're born again, that means that Jesus is living inside of you by the Holy Ghost. So you're having sex with a man or woman that's not your husband or wife, and you're taking Jesus for the ride. That's a little twisted. So it's like, you know, this is where, you know, we got to make some decisions, you know. We got to be holy, for I am holy. We got to make, no one's perfect, right? Amen? No one's perfect. I'm not perfect. My wife will tell you that. I'm not perfect. But I strive to obey God. Now, I don't obey him because I'm afraid of him, even though the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, which means, you know, my dad was a good spanker. And there were times I didn't sin, I didn't speak back to him because I knew I'd pay the price. That's godly fear. That's wisdom. He had those Popeye arms. That's wisdom. But if you're not sinning just because you're afraid of God, then you're missing the whole point. Because you can scare the hell out of somebody, but you can't keep the hell out of them until they know how much God loves them. A husband and wife living together, loving each other, man, they've been married, let's say, how many years you been married? 54 years. You know, they don't hurt each other because they love each other, not because they can't hurt each other. I don't want to make my wife upset, not only because I don't want to hear, but because honestly, I love her and I don't want to hurt her. You don't want to hurt your wife. You don't want to hurt your spouse. You don't want to hurt the one you love the most. So when you're sinning, you're hurting the one you love the most. So you strive not to sin. And when you do, if you confess, he'll forgive you. Questions? Yes. I just love seeing the guys run. It just makes me chuckle.
So once the rapture happens, is there going to be any children born? Or is it just the people that's other?
Yes, there will be children born. So all the way through the millennial reign of Christ, there will be children born.
So how does that work with the kids being born in that time?
And during this time, Jesus will be ruling and reigning. And as far as biblically we know, because not everything is completely spelled out, that those who, remember, they're not going to die. The people in the millennial reign of Christ aren't dying. They're going to live 1,000 years unless they sin. And Jesus will be ruling with a rod of iron. And those who sin during that period of time will be cast into hell, which will regurgitate at the end. We don't have full detail of what happens to them. We know if they, they're going to live. We don't see where all of that judgment stuff happens for them at the end. We don't see all that. Not in Scripture. So again, you know, the Bible is really clear on what we have here, but there are things that we just don't know and will never know. But that is an awesome question of something I do not know. I want you to know I don't mind telling you if I don't know something. You know, I'm not a know-it-all, honestly. If there's something I don't know, and I know my doctrine really, really well, but if I don't know, I just don't know, and I'll tell you I don't know. If I'll do research, and if the scholars don't have a conclusion, then I'll just tell you that is what we call a gray matter, and gray matter doesn't matter. Questions? Does everybody understand the two judgments? Isn't it horrible that we're all going to stand before the white throne judgment? Okay. The believers stand before what judgment? They're not judged for their sins. They're judged for their? The sinners are judged at the? Their names will not be written in the Lamb's book of? So they'll be cast into the lake of? Which is called the second death. Once you're in the lake of fire, can someone pray you out? Once you're in hell, can someone pray you out? Is there any in-between area? No. You only have the choices you make here before you take your last breath. Yes. Look at that. He's right behind you. Look at that. That's perfect. He was moving in the spirit on that one. Wow! But, God, young man.
But as long as you're saved, you will go to heaven.
Yes, you'll
you
go before
have
the.
To have works because the Bible says.
No, you will be faith. Judged. You'll be judged for your words and works, but the Bible says very clearly in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 through 15, it says, "If any man's works which he has built on endures, he'll receive a reward. But if it does not, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, yet through fire." So their works will be gone. Now, I'm telling you, there are a lot of preachers who will get to heaven and they'll have no works because they did it for the wrong intention.
But they'll go to heaven.
Go to heaven, but they'll have nothing to throw at Christ's feet.
And if, for instance, Danny goes and he helps someone all the time, which he does, that has Alzheimer's, God sees that.
Yep, if he's doing it as unto the Lord,
yes,
then that's ministry.
Right.
If he's doing it to feel good, well, then that burns up.
Right.
So this is about intentions. So like myself, let's just say my intentions are to build a big church, to get a big name, to make a lot of money, and to get good fame. And let's say I do it. Let's say I build a church of 20,000 people. I have 4 Lamborghinis, 3 helicopters, 2 jets. Jesus is good. And a partridge in a pear tree. Amen. I get all of that. I'm on nationwide television. Everybody in America knows my name. But if I'm doing it for me, then when you stand before the Bema, it's all burned up and I get nothing. There are people that clean toilets that will get greater rewards than the preachers who preach behind the pulpits. Because it's about intention and obedience and using your gift, not about you and I becoming really popular. Amen? That was a really good one. Anybody else? Woo, that's a good one. What are we doing next week? La, 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 la. We're not singing, no. Next week is tithe, seed, and alms. So many people do not understand giving. We're going to break it all down for you. In the month of October, I believe, we're going to do a next level finances. We're going to teach you how to, number one, do a budget. Number two, we're going to teach you how to get out of debt. Amen. Go get you out of debt. I had a pastor friend of mine who did this, not the same message, of course, but he, in I think it was less than a year, his church had supernatural debt cancellation of over $900,000. Pastor Brian Wright out of North Carolina. And when we did this, the last time we did something like we're talking about in October was back in the old, was back down where that restaurant is now. That's when we had the church upstairs, and an enormous amount of people, their debt was canceled supernaturally by God. It was really neat. Questions? Awesome, let's stand. All those watching on live stream, thank you so much for watching. I want to remind you that there is a give button right there. Maybe you haven't tithed, or you should never come to the King's house without a gift. That's always a principle we hold here. So make sure you get right online and give. Amen? Father, we just speak blessing upon your word. God, thank you that you warn us, you tell us, you teach us. That, God, that we truly will stand before the righteous King. Lord, we have a desire, and that is to please you. God, we want to honor you, want to please you. Thank you for the gifts and the talents you have given us. And we make a declaration and a covenant before you that we will not allow one of them to fall to the ground, get buried. But God, we will run this race. Lord, whether it's one talent, three talents, or five talents, Lord, we will use all that you have given us to bring glory to your name. Jesus, we will watch our mouths. We will agree with the word before anything else. Lord, bless the offering. Bless us during this week. Let us lead at least one soul to Jesus. In your name we pray, amen. Now, don't forget, this Sunday we start the series on next level healing, physical healing. We're going to be doing a whole series on how to get physically healed. And near the last week, we're going to do a Friday night miracle service. We're just going to have a Friday night. We're just going to be laying hands on folk and seeing miracles. Amen?
Amen.
Ah!